and welcome to another edition of Israel Uncensored on the landofisrael.com radio network. My name is Josh Haston. I am back in Jerusalem, Monday, June 27th, 2016. I'm here with my main man, Binyamin Breski, engineer extraordinaire. Without him, there'd just be no sound, folks. Thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate everybody sending me emails and messages on Twitter, Facebook, etc., letting me know what they think of the show. We're going to start today's show. I'm going to read one of these emails after I give you the contact information. If you too want to get involved, let me know what you think. I appreciate it. Love the show, hate the show. You have constructive criticism, comments, whatever it is, get in touch with me, josh@thelandofisrael.com, on Twitter at Jew of Zion, and on Facebook, Julie Reed. She is writing here from Tacoma, Washington. Greetings, Julie. Thanks so much for listening to the show. She says, "Hi, Josh. I really enjoy your program and the various topics each week. I'm a non-Jew living in the U.S. and learned about the Land of Israel Network in January when Jeremy spoke in Tacoma, Washington. While I may not understand all the political nuances within Israel, I'm more impressed with your prime minister than I have ever been with the U.S.'s current president. I also have a lot of respect for those brave Jewish souls that have their homes and families in Judea and Samaria. Shame on the U.S. and Europe for thinking they can tell Israel what to do. Instead of worrying about a two-state solution, they should be more concerned with the degradation of the Middle East thanks to Islamic extremists, along with cleaning up the many, many messes within the U.S. As we all know, but others won't admit, Israel is the only democratic nation in the Middle East. Americans don't get it because they could never imagine other countries starting to bully the U.S. into giving Arizona and Texas back to Mexico. Thanks for the awesome topics of discussion." Big shout out to Julie all the way in Tacoma, Washington. I had to start the show off that without Ben. Wanted to give a big shout out to Julie. On the program today, Dr. Brian of London. He also goes by Dr. Brian Thomas, senior editor of Israeli Cool. He's an activist for indigenous rights, and he openly supported the Brexit. He's a British expat living in Israel, and as you know, that is probably the biggest story around the world, Britain deciding to leave the European Union. So in just a few minutes, we'll be joined by Dr. Ryan of London to get his insight. Why did he support the Brexit? What does it mean for the state of Israel? What does it mean for the Jewish people? Listen, I was on board for sure with Great Britain, with England leaving the European Union. And I just have a chart here, just shows some of the recent happenings within the European Union vis-a-vis Israel. And I think this is reason enough for us to be happy today. And again, I'm not an economics expert. I don't know the future for the people in London and England, etc., what it's all going to mean. But in terms of Israel, just listen to this. Here's a chart somebody sent me just the other day. On June 16th, and we'll get to this in a few minutes also in detail, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas received a standing ovation from European Union lawmakers in Brussels when he proclaimed the libel that Israeli rabbis had called upon the government to poison Arab drinking water. This is a blood libel, no different than the Middle Ages here against the Jewish people, no different than accusing the Jews of using Christian blood for matzahs, as they did one time. This is the same thing. He got up there in front of a European Union crowd, a group of leaders, and he said that the Jewish rabbis were poisoning or telling the government to poison the Palestinian Authority wells. And he got a standing ovation. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. More on the European Union. On June the 9th, this is just recent history. On June the 9th, European foreign ministers endorsed a French-led one-sided Arab-Israeli peace initiative that does not allow for direct participation of the parties. I personally am not in favor of talking to the Palestinian Authority at all, but here you have the European Union getting involved, pushing themselves on Israel. Israel wasn't even invited, not even invited to the meeting. The Palestinian Authority wasn't either, but all this is about just forcing Israel into making concessions. That's why the French are so excited about all of these different forums and meetings and gatherings, etc. European Union about supporting the effort, behind the effort, and really just an effort to endanger the state of Israel. That's what it ultimately would be. On March 17th, the EU condemned Israel for what it accused of designating lands in Judea and Samaria to be Jewish land, but then stood silent on the wave of knifings, shootings, and similar attacks by Palestinians. And of course, you have the European Union who are building illegally in Judea and Samaria, specifically area, what is known as Area C. They are building illegally. And of course, they turned around and accused the Jews of building illegal structures in Judea and Samaria, in our heartland, in our homeland. Yet the EU thinks that they can build structures, put their European Union flag on them, and create these illegal communities, illegal towns. And that for them is fine. Implementing their beliefs on the ground here in Israel, completely illegal. Another example of the European Union and why I think it's a good idea that the Brexit took place. And finally, in January, the EU reaffirmed its requirement that products imported from Judea and Samaria label contain special labels, therefore facilitating the boycott of Israeli products. No, it's not 1938. If you're just waking up and listening to the broadcast, it's 2016. And once again, the European Union is trying to label Jewish products. So again, I am happy about the Brexit. But Dr. Brian of London, he's certainly an expert. He got to vote in that referendum. Being a British expat, we'll be speaking to him about all the ramifications, implications of Brexit, specifically what it means to us here in Israel. Now, getting back to Mahmoud Abbas and his comments over the weekend there in Europe, where he had he's loved over there. He gets standing ovations, and he's the darling of the European Union, this terrorist Mahmoud Abbas, financier of the Munich massacre, 1972, insider, continuously incites violence against the state of Israel and the Jewish people. Here's something upsetting, okay? Reported by the Jerusalem Post. Our president, Reuven Rivlin, distinguished president of the state of Israel, he was also at this European conference, and Mahmoud Abbas said he wasn't willing to meet with President Rivlin. Fair enough, okay? Doesn't bother me that they don't meet. I don't see any point to that. But this is what bothers me. A quote here taken by Reuven Rivlin, our president, in regard to commenting on why Mahmoud Abbas, or the reason Mahmoud Abbas didn't want to meet with him. He said the following, Reuven Rivlin, quote, on a personal level, I find it strange that President Mahmoud Abbas, get this, my friend Abu Mazen, refused again and again to meet with Israeli leaders. My friend Abu Mazen, the guy gets up there, Mahmoud Abbas, the terrorist, the blood libel king of our century, if you will, gets up there and accuses Jews of poisoning the wells in the Palestinian Authority. And Reuven Rivlin calls him my friend. Again, I don't know if he called him my friend before or after he made these comments, but it just shows you where we are in terms of mentality. Despite the blood libel, despite everything Mahmoud Abbas says, the incitement, etc., for some reason, whether it's Reuven Rivlin or our leadership, we keep saying, our leadership here in Israel keeps saying, Netanyahu's government, different figureheads say, we would meet Mahmoud Abbas anywhere, anytime. Why even give him that recognition, that courtesy? Why be willing to meet with this guy anywhere, anytime? What's the point of it? What's the point of it all? I don't understand it. He is a hater. He is a blood libel inciter. And there's no reason the Israeli government should give him the time of day. Instead, even after all this, if he quits the incitement and the reports that he backed off on his comments about the wells, etc., for some reason we are obsessed with meeting with this guy. I don't see the point, and it pains me. It pains me after what he said up there, and just one of many blood libels and comments he's made over the years, that the president of the state of Israel refers to Mahmoud Abbas as my friend, Abu Mazen, his nom de jure, using that terminology. One other comment about Mahmoud Abbas before we go to Dr. Brian Thomas, Dr. Brian of London. In the same speech, Mahmoud Abbas said that if the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is resolved, there would be no more terrorism in the world. Nothing. There would be no more attacks because, of course, every terror attack in the world stems from Israel's presence in Judea and Samaria. If only a Palestinian state would come into being in Judea, Samaria, half of Jerusalem, the world's terrorist organizations would throw down their arms. Do you believe this? People out there do believe this, and he's getting standing ovations for saying that the Palestinian Authority is fighting against terrorism when they are, in fact, causing the terrorism through their incitement, etc. But he got a standing ovation and applause, whatever it was, in the room, and then he went off with the blood libel. But can you imagine this? There is, let's say there are negotiations towards some type of deal between Israel and the Palestinian Authority, which obviously would just be a ploy towards their goal of the river to the sea, taking over the state of Israel. You're telling me, these comments, if you believe them, you're telling me that ISIS would then throw down their weapons, Al-Qaeda would go home, Hezbollah, Hamas, Boko Haram, all these terror organizations, you're telling me they would just quit? The war in Syria would come to an end. There'd be no more attacks there. Yemen, everything would be resolved. No more attacks by Iran, the sponsor, the global sponsor of terrorism. You're telling me, if you give the Palestinian Authority a state, that the world will be free of terror. Who believes this garbage? Who believes this nonsense? You know, he's a master, Mahmoud Abbas, for making this point, for trying to convince people. The State Department seems convinced. The European Union seems convinced. The United Nations seems convinced that at the root of all the problems in the Middle East, forget about the Sunnis versus the Shia and how many more Muslims have died at the hands of other Muslims in the Middle East. Forget all of that. Ignore the facts. Ignore the reality. And let's say that if we come to some sort of agreement, where Israel would throw tens of thousands of Jews out of their homes in Judea, Samaria, etc., then there would be peace and the world would be free of terror. No more San Bernardinos, Orlando, none of this other stuff. ISIS would go retire if only there was a solution here. It's preposterous. And the worst aspect of this is that he was giving a standing ovation, meaning people buy into this nonsense. The obsession continues within the European Union, within the United Nations, the State Department, focusing here while hundreds and thousands and hundreds of thousands of people are dying in Syria. Nevertheless, as always is the case, the focus is on tiny little Israel. I don't know if that will ever change, but we got to keep at it. We got to keep telling the truth. That's what we're trying to do here on the landofisrael.com radio network. My name is Josh Haston. This is Israel Uncensored. Don't forget to get involved in the conversation. Join me on Twitter at Jew of Zion, Facebook, Josh Haston, H-A-S-T-E-N. And please keep the emails coming, josh@thelandofisrael.com. We are going to take a short break and talk all about the Brexit with Dr. Brian of London, senior editor at Israeli Cool. Josh Haston here from a very hot Jerusalem. Boy, Ben, when is this heat wave going to end, my friend Ben Bresky? It is just, I don't know, maybe in October, 3 months of a hot summer here. We are going to push on. It's still a beautiful place to be. We love the land of Israel. We love Jerusalem. We'll be right back. Do not touch that dial. This is Josh Haston, Israel Uncensored, landofisrael.com.
Rabbi Isaac Nissenbaum, one of the founders of the religious Zionist Mizrahi movement, wrote, "The objective of Mizrahi is the total revival of our nation in all its aspects, to revive Judaism in our hearts and to revive our hearts for Judaism. The Land of Israel Network is powered by the Mizrahi World Movement."
And we are back. Josh Haston here from Jerusalem, Israel Uncensored on the landofisrael.com radio network. It is Monday, June 27, 2016. Thank you so much for joining me. Don't forget, you too can get involved in the conversation on Twitter at Jew of Zion. Facebook, it's Josh Haston, H-A-S-T-E-N. Keep sending those emails, josh@thelandofisrael.com. I read each and every one, and I try to respond as quickly as I can. And I'm happy to read your comments on the air. The big news over the weekend, worldwide actually, is the fact that the people of England have decided to leave the European Union. A referendum held which passed, I believe, 52%, 48%. It is called the Brexit. The British people are leaving the European Union. It is front page all over the world. And the question I have is, what is this going to mean for us here in Israel? There was a very organized campaign by the Regavim Association, the Regavim organization here in Israel, encouraging the Brexit, encouraging the Brits to leave the European Union. And I read some of the reasons a little bit earlier in the show in terms of the EU's treatment of the state of Israel. So joining us on the line is one of those British expats who openly, and I'm not sharing any secrets here, he voted for the Brexit. He publicized it on social media, told people that he thinks that the European Union should be sent packing, that is, if you're a Brit. His name is Dr. Brian of London, also known as Dr. Brian Thomas, senior editor of Israeli Cool. He's also a human rights activist for indigenous rights of those people, including those here in Israel, of course. He openly supported the Brexit. He joins us now on the line. Dr. Brian, thanks so much for joining us here on Israel Uncensored on thelandofisrael.com.
Hi there, Josh. Hi there, listeners.
Great to talk to you again.
I'm out and I'm proud.
Why? Why did you support it? I listed some reasons before in terms of the European Union's treatment of the state of Israel, but you seem, we're looking at you here on the video via Skype, you seem like a happy man this morning, like you gained your independence. Why did you support the Brexit? Your thoughts now that it has officially passed?
Okay. You've probably gone through the reasons why the EU is not good directly for Israel. So after that, there's a much bigger picture here, which is, it's do we still believe that identity and national identity and nation states should exist? Or are we living in some kind of post-nation state, global, one world alliance, George Soros-led, unified world? Well, I don't think we are. I think that I have an identity. My identity is a Jewish identity. And where do Jews come from? Israel. The British and the English, actually, that splits down into the English, the Scots, the Welsh, they have identities. And the EU project was trying to take away their identities. I just read this morning, just imagine for yourself, if the EU really succeeded in its ultimate end vision, at the World Cup, all of the European nations would be represented by one team the soccer World Cup. Right now there's the Euro, the big cup for all the European nations. England is playing, Wales is playing, Northern Ireland just got knocked out by Wales. These are nations. They have identity. They have history, huge history. And the EU was trying to squash that in the name of stopping wars. Well, they haven't had a war since the EU, but who knows why? You know, Canada hasn't gone to war with America, and those two are not in a sort of a supranational alliance. Why do they need to be? America hasn't even gone to war with Mexico, though, you know, maybe that'll start up next year when they have to pay for the wall. But, you know, the EU, I like to look at this as a much bigger picture. And the reason I think why the why this whole move to remain in the EU failed in the UK. It failed because the only arguments they gave were fear and economics. And those arguments, the people said, you know what, even if we're going to be a bit poorer for a couple of years, we still want to be English or Scots or Welsh. Now, I mean, the really crazy thing is the idea that Wales voted to stay in the EU this time, and this is Scotland. Scotland voted to stay in the EU, but now they're going to have to vote to see if they have to leave the UK to get back into the EU. I mean, crazy people, but oh well, those are the Scots.
So you think overall, sorry to cut you off, you think overall the whole concept of the European Union, which is now, I think, been intact for, I believe, around 30 years, if not more. You think the whole concept is a failure here and now?
I want it to be a failure. I mean, taking this out to a bigger point is, you know, I think the UN is a failure. The UN's dominated by the OIC voting bloc. And what does it ever do that's positive, especially for Israel, when we're hated there? So the EU is a sort of a similar organization. They are trying to do away with nation states because they believe in this kind of communist utopia where if everybody is all part of one country, then how can we anybody ever go to war? It's John Lennon's awful Imagine song. You know, imagine there are no countries. Well, that was the imagination of the sort of mixture of ex-Nazis and ex-communists who set up the EU. And quite frankly, I think Britain has said exactly as Churchill would have said, no, thank you, and stuck their fingers up and left. I think there's a note of caution here that it's an incredibly difficult divorce to actually negotiate now. And there are huge worldwide forces that are going to try and stop this happening. But it's really good to see 17.4 million people go out in the rain. Because it was raining. You know, I posted my ballot 3 or 4 weeks ago in Israel.
Right.
And the local area where I posted, which is a part of London, actually was one of the few parts of London that voted to leave the EU. So my vote went into a bucket that said leave. So I'm happy about that.
So that's an important point. I mean, I agree with you, and I was all for the Brexit, even though I'm, you know, obviously from the United States, etc. But do you think that the European Union will then turn it around and perhaps blame people like yourself, ex-Brits, expats living in places specifically like Israel, you know, and use that as a rallying point maybe for more anti-Semitism? Look what the Jews did. Look what the Israeli Brits did. They're the ones who supported it. It's their fault. Do you think we're going to see any of that in the days ahead?
It's not even remotely enough of us to have made a dent in the one. You know, the in the end, I think the margin was 1.3 or 1.4 million votes more for out than in.
But so, but perception is what's important. You know, we have a blood libel over the weekend, Mahmoud Abbas saying that the Jews are poisoning.
I'm about to record about that. Israeli Cool, our blog, Aussie Dave, my partner, he did amazing work tracking that down.
But the point is people are willing to believe if somebody says, you know, it's the Jews' fault.
This outvote is going to be blamed for the next ISIS attack in Europe, for sure. I mean, it just will. But I don't think, you know, I'll tell you a Spike Milligan, he's a famous British comedian. I mean, from the Goons, years and years and years ago, he was in the Second World War. He wrote an autobiography that covered his time in the Second World War, and he called it Hitler, My Part in His Downfall. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the point is, Spike Milligan was just a lowly private running around North Africa. He didn't really have a huge part in Hitler's downfall, but I don't think the Jews, I think it's going to be hard to blame the Jews for this one. There were plenty of other people who wanted out.
So if that's the case, and I hope you're right here, I hope they don't turn around and blame the Jews, but talk about the future in terms of Israel, British relations. You know, it was a rocky past. You had the British mandate before 48 and the white paper and everything they did to try to prevent Jews from moving here, and how many Jews perished at the hands of the Nazis because they couldn't come to Israel from the white paper and others who didn't allow them to come here, etc. Now you have potentially a new leaf in Israel-British relations. Again, this whole thing doesn't start, I guess, for another year or two, if, you know, at the minimum. But what is your vision of that relationship with England now fully independent, acting on its own, not having to answer to the technocrats in Brussels? How do you envision the relations of Israel and Great Britain in the years to come?
Okay, I think that that is an unknowable question. It depends on who the Brits vote in. You know, David Cameron, you know, I was on I-24 actually on the Friday morning, and I said I didn't think David Cameron would be going immediately. And then 3 minutes later, he's on television resigning. So I'm like an idiot. But he's resigned. There's going to be a process to find a replacement for him. Might be Boris Johnson. That would be funny. Boris has been kind of, he flips all over the place. Last time he was in Israel a few weeks ago, he was very pro-Israel. Anyway, the point, I tell you, I think that there's a fundamental split in British society, and it splits along the lines of the people who voted in and the people who voted out. The elites at the top who run like something like the Foreign and Commonwealth Office, which has stopped the Queen ever visiting Israel. She's visited every Arab despot ever, but she's never visited Israel. The people who organize that, which is the Foreign and Commonwealth Office, they hate us. I personally think that many of them are personally anti-Semites or Jew haters, as I prefer to say. But across the rest of the population, and especially in the kind of the northern places and the sort of the heart and soul of Britain, who don't really know Jews, but I tell you what they do know now is they know Muslims and they know the Islam that's moved into their towns. And some of them are starting to notice that the same fights that they're fighting in their little towns with encroaching Islamization are the same fights that Israel's been fighting. And I personally think that there is a move. They've tried to Palestinianize Europe, and it's succeeded brilliantly on the elites. Just, you know, the 30-second standing ovation that Abbas got while telling literally not even original blood libels. I mean, yes. He couldn't even make up a new story. This is the same story they had from Russia 200 years ago. The 30-second ovation he got from elites in Brussels, I think, revolts the common man in England. And I hope that this Brexit signals a switch to the common man of England saying, hey, we don't like the direction of this place. Go a different direction. And yeah, I think that could be a pro-Israel direction.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you had the 9/11 attacks on America, the 7/7 attacks on England, on London, etc. And you would think, or you would have thought, that perhaps those societies would have woken up to the threats of jihad, extremism in the Islamic world, etc. But apparently not. So you're saying that maybe that now they are catching on in the remote areas of England, and maybe one day London will wake up as well.
It's not even so remote. You know, I've got a very good friend, a gay guy who used to live in East London, East London used to be a Jewish area of London, and it's been Islamized. And he's moved out. He fled, basically. The number of all the gay bars shut down. He was chased out. He's written an amazing book called Easy Meat about the horrific grooming scandals of children being horrifically abused. And he's one of these. He was a lefty, elite, you know, well-educated, university, the whole thing. But he's been mugged by reality, and now he's ultra-realistic. And I think that's happening more and more. Now, it's not happening to the BBC. It's not happening to Channel 4 and those guys. But they're being bypassed. That's another thing we learned from this Brexit video, this Brexit thing. People got their information on Brexit not from the state channels. They didn't. They watched Brexit, the movie, on YouTube, millions of views. They watched, you know, they saw all sorts of alternatives, you know, Prison Planet guy, No Agenda show. There's thousands of alternative outlets that provided a counter message to the state elite media that said, remain, or you're all going to die. I mean, they even said World War III was going to break out. I mean, the pound went down, but the FTSE, the stock market in the UK, ended Friday higher than the week before. It crashed immediately, and then it climbed all day until it was two points higher than it had been the week before. Crazy. And nobody actually knows what this Brexit is going to mean. I mean, nobody can predict economic futures. But the feeling of being sovereign again, of not taking orders from unelected bureaucrats in Brussels, I think that that's a hugely positive thing. It gives the country back an identity.
There's no doubt, and I saw it myself, the fear-mongering amongst the mainstream media. You know, if God forbid they were talking about if Britain would pass the Brexit, and they had all these different polls taken that showed just ridiculous figures. If you compare those to the actual outcome of the Brexit, some even said a few days before it was 70-30 to stay, when here we had 52-48 to leave. At the same time, I'm sure the mainstream media is pushing. I saw a petition signed by, I don't know, a million people saying they want to read 2 million already.
They want a do-over.
A do-over.
But already we found on social media, we found tweets, you know, saying, Please sign our petition. If you don't live in the UK, use this postcode. So, you know, it's spread far and wide.
They're pulling votes
nonsense.
From everywhere, huh?
It's actually nonsense. And I think also some of us who spend a lot of time on social media overestimate its importance in the lives in people living in Grimsby. You know, and you can get 2 million people to sign anything on the internet, it would appear. I mean, look. They signed that ridiculous petition 2 years ago, you know, to ban Donald Trump from the UK. Well, he's right in Scotland right now visiting his golf courses. How did that work out for you?
By the way, I didn't know Grimsby was a real place. I mean, I saw the film, but
Grimsby is very real. And you know what? I studied in Sheffield and Leeds, and I traveled all over the north. I worked in Blackpool for a while. These are northern towns. They're a long way from London. The problems in them and the people in them are very different. And they turned around and gave a big slap to these effete upper class twits like Cameron, you know, Eton educated. You know, I can do that accent if I want. You know, what are these peasants doing revolting? I mean, it's just absolutely terrible. But, you know, they turned around.
That's
and
great.
Said, no.
That's great. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but this has been very entertaining. And I can see over here, over the Skype video, you're in a good mood today. Dr. Brian of London, Dr. Brian Thomas, senior editor of Israeli Cool. Israeli Cool,
Brian,
if you haven't checked
London.
It out.
Brian of London on Twitter. Follow me, say hello.
Yeah, I was just going to ask. Check him out on Twitter and go to Israeli Cool. I mean, these guys are cutting edge, putting out the greatest stuff you will not see in the mainstream media, taking people to task when it comes to their bias against the state of Israel, giving you the facts. I mean, I think that's something so important. You're not getting, as you mentioned, on the BBC, etc.
Check. When this libel about the water that you're going to talk about.
Yeah, we talked about it before.
We nailed it. Dave nailed it first. The rabbi they mentioned just doesn't exist.
It didn't have a real name. There was a vowel missing from
his
name.
You can't even say the name.
It upsets me, though, that our president called him Mahmoud Abbas, our friend, Abu Mazen. I don't know how after that, even if he's made that comments before the speech, after the speech. I mean, the guy is a terrorist. The guy needs to go, Mahmoud Abbas. That's a whole different topic, which we're going to have to get to. Unfortunately, we're out of time. A different time, but keep up your holy work there on Israeli Cool. Check it out. Give your Twitter again one more time, Brian.
Brian of London.
Check it out. You don't want to miss it. Fighting for indigenous rights, fighting for the people of Israel and the land of Israel, and happily celebrating the Brexit. I want to thank you so much for joining us here on Israel Uncensored on thelandofisrael.com. Have a wonderful week. Enjoy the celebration.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have today, folks. This has been Josh Haston, Israel Uncensored on thelandofisrael.com for June 27, 2016. Again, be in touch with me via email. Keep them coming, man. I love the emails. Josh@thelandofisrael.com. On Twitter, @JewofZion. @JewofZion, and on Facebook, of course, Josh Haston, Haston. Thanks again to Binyamin Bresky, engineer extraordinaire. Without him, there's just no sound. Most importantly, between now and our next show next Monday, everyone, wherever you are in this wonderful world of ours, be safe. Shalom from a very hot but beautiful Jerusalem. I am out. Be safe, everyone.
Do you like picking strawberries or blueberries in the spring and summer? What about grapes? If you were to take an experience like picking grapes and move it to the heartland of Israel, this is when an experience becomes prophetic. Young and old, singles and families are all invited on this adventure of a lifetime. I'm Joshua Waller with Hayuvel, and I invite you to join us on the mountains of Israel, where prophecy meets reality. Go to hayuvel.com, that's HAYOVEL.com, for more information.